From the studios of Wavefront Audio Visual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 67 of Little Brother for the 8th of January, 2022. Stay tuned, Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started! Norton 360 is an all-in-one security suite for the consumer market. It has the usual things you would expect in a security suite, things like a virus scanner, firewall, cryptominer. Wait, what? Yes, you heard me right. Norton 360 now mines Ethereum, because making money by revving your GPU up to full power, heating your space, and burning more electricity for tiny little returns that might not even cover the cost of the power in some cases, is exactly what a security suite should be doing. It requires no special hardware. Any compatible machine with an NVIDIA video card can participate. For now, it mines Ethereum, which is one of the few cryptocurrencies that can still be mined with a GPU. Oh, I forgot to mention, Norton collects a commission. Now, the good news is that this feature is, for now, opt-in, so your participation is neither required nor default behavior. Meanwhile, the competition, Microsoft Defender, has an understandable but potentially fatal flaw. MS Defender will naively ignore files named dumpstack.log. This is understandable because such a log will contain forensic data on why something crashed, which may in some cases include an infection. But the problem is that it opens the door to a file named dumpstack.log to be the actual home of the infection itself. In Illinois, the owner of an Amazon Alexa-enabled device has filed a class action lawsuit against the tech giant, alleging violation of Illinois state law. The Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act requires that organizations which capture biometric data develop and document a policy explaining what data they collect, how they use it, how it is stored. The policy is required by law to include provisions for the data to be destroyed when the purpose for its collection has been fulfilled, or 3 years after an individual's last interaction with their organization. It also requires that individuals are notified of the collection and the reason for the collection. Illinois resident April Schaefer alleges that Amazon is collecting biometric data through Alexa-enabled devices and doing so in a manner that violates the state law. The case has been moved to a federal court due to its interstate nature. Security researcher Chris Partridge has publicly disclosed a SQL injection vulnerability in the website of the Washington State Department of Transportation. He describes the vulnerability as trivially exploitable. Per his blog, Partridge has successfully conveyed the existence of the vulnerability to the appropriate authorities, and after 6 months, it remains unrepaired. The vulnerability allows an attacker to gain access to personally identifiable information concerning DOT contractors, including plain text passwords. Deutsche Welle is reporting that France is fining Google and Facebook for not providing users with an easy way to opt out of using cookies when using their respective services. The fine of €210 million, or approximately $237 million US dollars, was levied by the French National Privacy Regulator, the Commission Nationale de l'Informatique et des Libertés, or the National Commission of Computers and Liberties, CNIL for short. CNIL asserts that the tech giant's current paradigm is in violation of the General Data Protection Act, or GDPR, a 2018 EU law requiring consent before cookies may be used. In addition to the current fines, the CNIL have set a three-month deadline after which additional fines of 100 million euro per day will be levied for continued non-compliance. In a statement to Agence France-Presse, Google have stated that they will take corrective action. The Swiss Army has banned the use of WhatsApp by soldiers while they are on duty, in favor of Threema, a Swiss-owned application deemed to be more secure. Other messaging apps, such as Signal and Telegram, are also banned. The Swiss Army will reimburse soldiers for the €3.85, approximately $4.35 US, to purchase the app. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. And you know what that music means. It's time for another episode of Who Got Pwned This Week? Well, we don't quite know, to be honest. CrowdStrike have posted to their blog a claim that they have successfully intercepted an attack by a threat actor known as Aquatic Panda, the victim of the attack being an academic institution. They did not name the institution, but they did talk about the attack vector. As is so often the case in the past month or so, it was a Log4j-based attack perpetrated on the institution's VMware Horizon system. For those not familiar, VMware Horizon is a remote desktop environment which allows users to log into a more or less fully functional Windows desktop without much concern for what the end user's desktop is. I know firsthand, for instance, that the client runs on Linux and macOS. What else I know is that a pwn on this system has the potential to yield user credentials, which is exactly what Aquatic Panda were allegedly trying to do here. Given that this was a brag piece on CrowdStrike's blog, I believe we may safely assume that the pwn was not completed, but a penetration appears to have happened and been detected, so good show, nameless academic institution. Next up, we have Broward Health. As you can probably discern from the name, this is a major healthcare provider in Florida. Broward Health suffered a breach that affects over 1.3 million individuals. This one is bad. Patient data has been grabbed. It's believed to include the patient's names, dates of birth, addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, banking information, insurance info, medical history, and current diagnosis. And in some cases, even a driver's license number. What does a healthcare system have driver's license numbers for? What's up with that? All right, never mind that point. The rest of this is just data that a medical establishment legitimately has need of and just exactly what an identity thief needs to completely ruin your day. As is usually the approach in cases like this, the healthcare provider is offering the victims 2 years of credit monitoring services. With such a large number of victims, though, any would-be identity thieves in possession of the data only need to pick a handful, and they have better than typical odds of going undetected. Folks, I've held my tongue on this one so far, but let me be clear. 2 years of data monitoring service is not going to fix the damage. All these thieves have to do is sit on the trove for 2 years and then start picking off victims. Yes, this data monitoring service is going to cost the hospital something, but these data breaches just keep happening. How often do they happen? Think about what you're listening for a second. There's a whole feature of this show, the very feature you're listening to right this very second, dedicated to bringing you news of organizations that have had their data breached. And there's almost always at least one now, isn't there? Being an IT worker, I know very well that many organizations simply skin it back and skin it back and skin it back until the IT department barely has enough staff to function. Things go unpatched, unrepaired, unmanaged, and I can come here week after week and say, "Patch your systems," time and time again, and we can all laugh at the inside joke. But until we have good, solid, secure standards, and until non-compliance with those standards costs more than compliance, this is going to continue unabated. Over and out. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Funkaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Mister73 for bringing stories to my attention. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarahad. And our theme music is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email, critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well.